Okay. I'm dying to have this conversation. For anyone doing up a derelict home, you'll come across different challenges, polite, and our next guest certainly did. But what happens when the home is infested with hundreds of pigeons? Jane and Paul Cathcart, you are very welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
So you decided to downsize. So give us the picture. You were in a 5-bedroom house.
In Cabinteely, we had 3 beautiful children who unfortunately grew up and left us with a very empty house.
With a big, big empty big house that you didn't need. Yeah.
And Paul will tell you, very, very hard to heat. We did a big renovation in 2010.
Right.
But it wasn't enough. The house was still quite a cold house.
Yeah.
So it was very, I would have hated to have it last year when electricity went through the roof.
Oh, could you imagine?
I don't even want to think about it. But Paul will tell you about the pigeons because he had far more experience with pigeons than me.
But what would you, so you have 3 grown children, they're gone, they've fled the nest basically, and you're rattling around a 5-bedroom house.
Exactly.
So you absolutely don't need that level of size of house. Whose idea was it to start thinking about downsizing?
Well, I first thought, well, maybe we should buy a property to invest in and rent it out.
The big house?
No, the small house. Okay. Yeah, a small little house just as a rental income for our old age. And we found somewhere. And then Paul came back one day and he said, how would you feel if we moved in there? So I kind of took a breath. I imagined retiring down the country. and so we thought about it. It was a practical thing to do. So it was Your Majesty who persuaded me that this was a good idea. So I embraced it.
So what was your inspiration?
Well, I wanted a smaller house that was much easier to heat because I have a medical condition. I feel the cold a lot and this house wasn't suitable in the winter. Ideally, we'd move away to a warmer climate. But in the meantime, when Jane's still working, it was a smaller 2-bedroomed house in the city where we could go out into town, go to shows, theatre, movies, as opposed to being out in the suburbs.
Right.
It was very difficult. Found this house. It was in very bad condition, but the price was right, very cheap. But we weren't able to see it inside before we bought it.
Oh, really?
We bought it sight. From outside, it was derelict, very, very derelict.
So you knew what you were getting yourself into, really?
Well, I talked to architect and a builder about it and knew what was involved roughly. The big shop came when I got the keys from the lawyer after we paid for the house. The title had been messed up and it took a good few months to work out the title. When I got the key and went down to the house, it really was a shock. There'd been pigeons on the roof and I thought they were in the attic, but I opened the door and 2 pigeon eggs on the ground inside the door. And more pigeons flying round up the stairs. And it was like a giant birdhouse that hadn't been cleaned for a year.
Wow.
6 inches of...
There was a coat on the banisters. And there was so much pigeon goo.
Guano.
It's called guama. Is it? What's it?
Guano. But it's toxic.
You could see the shape of the coat and nothing else. And I gave Paul 2 boiled eggs for breakfast the next morning. He said, never give me an egg ever again. Ever.
Wow. So hang on. You've done the deal. You've got the keys. And then you go in and it's literally infested with pigeons. Mm. Oh, my goodness. What was your feeling?
I didn't really know what to do. Like, I had to go away and work out a plan. I found that the pigeon thing was toxic to somebody like me with a medical condition. So
what does it smell like? What's it like?
Well, it's awful.
It doesn't.
Well, it does.
I'm telling a bit of a lie.
So you never went in.
I went in.
Paul, tell me, what's it smell like?
Awful.
Does it?
Simply, quite simply awful. And so we had to work out way. We discovered then that these pigeons, despite being vermin with wings, are protected. And we had to go to...
I knew seagulls were. I didn't realise pigeons were protected.
Yeah, well, wildlife is protected. I'm not exactly sure, but yeah, they weren't... the neighbours hated them. The whole area was... There was 200 pigeons on the roof, but there was at least another 200 inside the house.
Disgusting.
And I contacted pest extermination companies, and we got a number of quotes for... absolutely crazy, between 8,000 and 24,000 to clean out the
Euro.
House. Yeah, between euros.
8,000, 24,000 just to clean out.
This is nearly 10 years ago, to get them out of the house and spray stuff on it and
clean it up
and block the windows.
Wow. What's the sound? Are they noisy? They're all, it's noisy, isn't it?
They make a cooing noise.
It's like terrifying, isn't it, though?
It was worse than
terrifying. I'm kind of scared of birds.
So am I.
And so I have this kind of phobia, and I kept saying to Paul, I hope that, you know, this is their home. So even when we do the renovations, are they going to be banging at the window saying, you know, let me in? And I'd be terrified.
It sounds like an Alfred Hitchcock movie.
Yeah, there's a bit it was.
So you got practical about it. You said,
practical about it. We did. We found out we had to apply to the Department of Wildlife in the Phoenix Park to get a license to do something about it in conjunction with one of the companies. But this license was taking time to come about, and I hadn't worked out. As I said, the cheapest quote was about 8,000, which was still on call for. And that guy, I think, said it would take him a month to get the pigeons out. He proposed going in once a day to trap them. That's how he was justifying the price.
Okay.
And a month and all that, the house was dangerous, needed work. The roof, the slates were falling off the roof. It just, we were now responsible for it. So I had to move quicker than that. So somebody suggested a pigeon club. These people were used to pigeons. So a couple of the guys went in at the weekend and just shooed them out of the house. And a builder put up chicken wire over the windows, and job done.
Wow.
Before the Department of Wildlife had issued thing. It was still left. We had to get somebody in to spray the toxic material on the floor.
So I suppose what's really... glaringly obvious is that you couldn't access a house that you're buying before you actually buy it, and when you go in it you have an infestation. So that's a risk, right? Did you ever think, well, this has been a bad idea?
Well, it was so
it was at a very good price.
We got a very good deal.
Okay, so but you knew okay
with it, it was worse than I thought, but we found a very good builder, we found a very good architect, and we worked with them and a surveyor and worked out the plans. We had to go for planning permission because we were going to take down we took down everything except the end of terrace, red bricked.
Wow.
House. Two walls, that's all.
And we left the front wall and the side red brick wall. I had to take the chimney off the roof because it was unstable. They built a fake chimney afterwards because we've no fires, because it's built to energy standards. And
it was a bit like having a baby, having labour. You're going through all this labour and pain and you think you'll never ever go through this again, and this is the most awful thing, but the end result was so wonderful that you forget about the
pain.
You forget about the pain. And it was, I mean, and Paul will tell you more about the pain and everything that went with it. As I said in to the Irish Times, the worst thing was we presumed we'd be getting bridging loan because we had plenty of equity in our house. And we had started the build with our savings. And we thought, you know, we would get a bridging loan, because that's what people did in those days.
Yeah.
Prior to 2008.
But because you weren't taking a mortgage, you couldn't get a bridging loan.
Well, they wouldn't, even though we had bought the house, we had lots of equity in Cabinteely.
Wow.
We'd actually finished the house when we ran out of money. We didn't even plan on this. We had a budget and whatever, and we needed about 10% of the value of the two finished houses to finish it. We had that much money. We were nearly finished, but we had what's, you would know, the final fix, the electrics, the plumbing, yeah, and the plastering, the fairly expensive stuff at the end.
Yes, yeah.
But we had a roof on it. We had the windows in, the secured, the underfloor heating, concrete floor poured and lovely, all that.
Yeah.
But so it was no longer derelict house. It was a finished house, but without running water or electricity.
Okay.
And suddenly we went along to our own bank. No, couldn't get it. Went along to business bank. Couldn't get it. Went along to every other bank in the country.
The only way we could have got it was if we turned, we formed a limited company, myself and Paul.
Wow.
A vulture bank offered us the money to do it, but you had to turn the title of the house over to a special purpose vehicle, as they called it, or an SPV, which was a limited company.
What's it look like now, the house?
Oh, it's like a dream.
Okay, so it was, as you said, it was like childbirth. You forget now, the pain.
This is
a lot of pain here.
Paul had to go through all the labour for a change.
Okay.
But
you love it. And the other thing is not to take out the word derelict. When you buy a derelict house, that word is very important. There's a lot of work going to have to happen, right?
Well, you see, I was a bit naive.
Okay.
In my ignorance, I thought derelict house, the only time I'd seen a derelict house was if I'd passed it and there was a few cracked windows and a few slates off the roof. And this is what I envisaged until Paul came home after he got the keys.
But every time you talk about it, you smile.
Because the house makes
me laugh about it now. I wouldn't have done this or the article immediately afterwards. We were still in shock. I mean, it took 2.5 years, the whole project, because of various delays and so on it. But we turned it in. We have the downstairs was extended at the back with
lovely
patio
it's
windows.
It's beautiful. The house is beautiful.
It's like a New York loft style.
Oh, lovely.
One long room.
I love it.
Running from the living
quarter
to the dining room to the kitchen.
We actually have, it's very interesting. Paul actually loves birds. He's a fantastic photographer and he takes plenty of photographs and certainly of birds. But this blue tit has decided.
Oh gosh, to live with you.
No, it comes in every morning. It swoops
in. Oh, lovely.
And it bangs at the window. Now I.
Really?
Yeah, and I kind of got a fright and I said, Paul, he's going to hurt himself. But he comes to say hello.
Wow.
And he flips outside. I think he's fallen in love with my husband.
Oh, that's lovely.
Bird whisperer.
The bird whisperer, yeah.
Yeah, the bird whisperer.
The good news was the pigeons moved away a month or two after we got them.
And never came back.
And never came back.
And then we have a lovely, beautiful home.
Well, congratulations.
It was like having, after all the trials and tribulations, it was like having a clean palate.
Oh, very good.
And, you know, we've been married an awful long time.
How long are you married?
We're too long. 40. No, we're married 46 years.
Wow,
this
congratulations.
Year, and we've been together 53 years.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, so we've been together a long time. So everything was going really well. We agreed on everything. And now 6 years later, do you know the one thing we can't agree on?
Go on. What?
Couch.
Listen,
we agreed on everything else.
Paul and Jane, I wish you many happy years in your new home forever.
Thank you so much.
Amazing.